from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Happy Monday, and I hope everyone isn't hungover after a St. Patrick's Day yesterday that probably kept most of y'all busy. This whole weekend was just a festival of St. Patrick's Day celebration. So good morning. And McDonald's kind of screwed up this weekend, big time. We'll talk about that on the show today and so much more. We've got a packed one. So go check out our Substack, jamesazar.substack.com. Find us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Give us a subscribe, a follow, wherever it is that you get it. We're obviously unable to live stream on Facebook because we're in Facebook jail. We're able to post the videos after the fact for those who want to catch it. So we're not live there, but we are on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, Twitch, everywhere where free speech is still somewhat allowed. So with that being said, let's go ahead and kick off this morning's show. Join me. Now, it's great to be back in the studio because I have my double espresso. And while traveling, sometimes it's harder to get coffee cup. Cheers, y'all. Yeah. Having a coffee with every single one of y'all is just a perfect start to any day. Let's go ahead and start with McDonald's global outage on a weekend where their 24-hour stores make a ton of money. McDonald's blamed a third-party service provider's configuration change, not a cyber attack, for the global outage that forced many of its fast food restaurants to close over the weekend. According to a statement shared by the CIO, Brian Rice, the global technology system outage began around midnight Central Time on Friday. However, the outage still impacted some McDonald's restaurants, even though some of the root issues were quickly identified and corrected. Rice said many markets were online and in the process of coming online, but they're still experiencing some issues. Now, why is this being disputed? Because the portal within McDonald's said, and this is going to be the fifth line here, please know the issue is not directly caused by a cybersecurity issue, and our teams are continuing to investigate and fully remediate the issue. Meaning, because they kind of put the cybersecurity thing in the statement, well, there you've got it. And it started a whole bunch of rumors on Reddit. I don't know if y'all were like just watching what was going on in Reddit was like, oh, it's out. The massive outage did impact restaurants worldwide, including these United States, the UK, Japan, Australia, Canada, the Netherlands, Italy, and New Zealand. Why anyone would Italy would eat McDonald's is mind-boggling to me. We're aware of a technology outage which impacted restaurants. Issues now being resolved, according to McDonald's. And you can tell some of the signs that were on the restaurants. Again, some Reddit users were and some employees were saying they were getting yelled at for having to take paper orders and people pay by cash. So here's the deal, people. Plan out better. Carry cash. Don't trust credit. I can keep going. Where's your business continuity plan? The city of Birmingham, Alabama, still experiencing outages that's limiting government services more than a week after network disruptions forced officials to switch to cash transactions and take other temporary actions. Now, you'd say, James, why is Birmingham, Alabama the second story on your Monday morning show? There could be more pressing issues. True. However, Birmingham, Alabama has really kind of became a staple in financial services. Many banks moved from the Northeast to Birmingham. And in fact, the Bible Belt is now the banking belt in many, many places. If you go all the way from Charlotte down to Alabama, that's all banking. And literally, you take just the, like, it's there. Charlotte, Greenville, Atlanta, Birmingham. It's that curve right there that's really, really huge. And the reason for it is because they've been really tight-lipped about what's going on. Whether it's been a ransomware attack or something else, it's still unknown. And again, lack of communication leads to these types of questions. And for the city of Birmingham, Alabama, I'd say look at the Microsoft doctrine. It really goes a long way into saying, how do you communicate with your stakeholders, with your customers, and everyone else while going through a significant incident? AL.com reported on Tuesday that the city sent an internal memo to city employees assuring that salaries would be paid this month and denying rumors that data had been stolen. The memo written by city spokesperson Rick Journey provided no specifics as to whether or not the city is dealing with a ransomware attack. Despite claiming the police operations were not affected, officials have said that the outage had impacted the systems officers used to check for outstanding warrants and stolen cars. All transactions for taxes, permits, and licenses had been affected by the outage. They urged the city of more than 200,000 residents to check social media for updates, but there's been none since Thursday. Obviously, Birmingham, just a short few hour drive from Fulton County, where I live in Atlanta, and still recovering from a ransomware attack. So there's that. The International Monetary Fund recently detected an incident that involved over a dozen email accounts getting hacked. In a statement issued last week, the United Nations financial institution said it detected a security breach on February 16th. An investigation conducted with cybersecurity expert revealed that 11 IMF emails had been compromised. The hack accounts were resecured, and there's no indication at this point of an ongoing probe that the attacker gained access beyond these email accounts. The IMF takes prevention of and defenses against cyber incidents. They've given their normal stuff. Again, more of useless stuff coming from the UN here and the IMF. We'll see if they actually say who hacked their email or whether or not this is just one of those. AT&T says a massive trove of data impacting 71 million people didn't originate from its systems after attackers on a cybercrime forum claimed it was stolen during a 2021 breach of the company. Bleeping Computer has been unable to confirm the legitimacy of all the data in the database. They have confirmed some entries are accurate. And a lot of times what attackers would do, for those who don't understand the dark market, they'll get 20 million records. They'll embellish. They'll say these are all legitimate records, but really only half of them are legitimate. Sometimes 20%, sometimes 80%. It just depends on, Shiny Hunters' idea of how they want to build their reputation in these forums. The data is being sold by a threat actor known as Shiny Hunters. He's attempting to sell it on raid forums, data theft forum, for a starting price of $200,000 and incremental offers of $30,000. The attacker says they would immediately sell it for nearly $1 million. AT&T told Bleeping Computer that the data did not originate from them. Its systems were not breached based on their investigation. AT&T continues to tell Bleeping Computer that they still have no evidence of the breach at all. Nearly 2 years ago, the data includes names, addresses, mobile phone numbers, encrypted date of birth, encrypted social security numbers, and other internal information. However, the threat actors have decrypted the birth date and social security numbers and added them to another file in the leak, making those accessible as well. It's just showing you how worthless PKI is and encryption really is in this day of age, when attackers are able to pretty seamlessly decipher the public key exchange that goes on in PKI. So this is a developing story. There's going to be more to it. Was it an AT&T breach? Was it a third party that didn't notify AT&T of the breach because maybe they paid the ransom and thought this was all going to go away, and only to have it resurface a few years later? That's all going to be part of an investigation that's yet to come. And once we get more information, we'll let you know. My guess is it's the latter. My guess is a third party company for AT&T that processes customer data was breached. They had a ransomware attack. They paid the ransom thinking the data was deleted as part of the agreement with the ransom, but the data wasn't. And someone in that chain that had that data kept it. A few years later, brought it up. They may have been screwed out of another deal within the syndicate of criminals that they were in, and decided that I'm just going to monetize this one list I've got. That could also be a situation there. A team of researchers from the Graz University of Technology in Austria and the University of Reims in France have demonstrated a new graphics processing unit attack impacting several browsers and graphic cards. The research focused on the web GPU, an API that enables web developers to use the underlying system's GPU to carry out high-performance computing in a web browser. By leveraging the API, they've demonstrated an attack that works entirely from the web browsers using Java. This makes it easier to carry out remotely, but also limits the potential impact compared to previous attacks that require access to native GPU APIs. For instance, the exploit could be executed while a victim is reading an article on the malicious site. No other type of user interaction is required to conduct this type of attack. Now, again, this is research. It's not being used publicly. It's good to understand the kind of exploits that exist and fix them. And when the universities do these types of research and write it up, it's critical for us to look at these and then relate them to our environment. And once we understand what if they impact our environment, how do we mitigate this risk going forward? What are the ways where we can essentially say this is significant and so much more? So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, there's more to this research, but it's good to know that these types of complex attacks that really don't require much outside of being on a malicious website by attackers in order to take advantage of them. This obviously impacts Mozilla, AMD, NVIDIA, and Chromium, who've all been notified. AMD does not believe that any exploit against AMD products is demonstrated by the researchers. Again, whether or not it's demonstrated or not is irrelevant, AMD. What's relevant is the fact that this attack could happen. It seems like they leveraged something you do in AMD, and it's worthwhile to look at. Not something urgent today, but it could be nice to have a disclaimer. AMD, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Also, now a proof of concept code is now available for the critical severity vulnerability in the Fortra File Catalyst workflow that allows remote attackers to execute arbitrary code. This is CVE-2024-25153, a CVSS score of 9.8. The issue is described as a directory traversal bug in the File Catalyst Workflows web portal, which provides file management capabilities to Fortra customers. The flaw was discovered in August of last year and addressed in version 5.1.6 build 114 without a CVE identifier. However, now that there's a proof of concept exploit and there's still unpatched systems that have assigned it a CVE, and are now coming out saying, please get this patched. Please make sure to do so right away. The Russia-linked hacker APT Group 28 has been linked to multiple ongoing phishing campaigns that employ lurid documents imitating government and NGOs in Europe, the South Caucasus, Central Asia, and North and South America. The uncovered lures includes a mixture of internal and publicly available documents, as well as a possible actor-generated document associated with finance, critical infrastructure, executive engagements, cybersecurity, maritime security, healthcare, business, and defense industrial production, according to IBM X-Force. The tech company is tracking the activity under the moniker ITG05, which is also known as Fancy Bear. See all these names here? Doesn't help us. Doesn't at all. Fancy Bear, Russian groups, bears, Chinese groups, pandas, Iranian groups, kitten. You know, let's just stick with those names. Fair? Come on. Do better. APTs also targeted Ukrainian government entities and Polish organizations with these phishing messages as well. And over the weekend, obviously, the Russian elections in Russia, where Putin won 87% of the votes, y'all. 87. So the phishing attacks impersonate entities from several countries like Argentina, Ukraine, Georgia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Poland, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and the United States, putting to use a mix of authentic, publicly available government and non-government to activate the infection chain. It's elaborate in the way it's actually put together, and they're using different payloads as well, which is another piece of this. So it's not one payload, but multiple payloads, the MassPy, Ocean Map, Steelhook, and then they're using more capable versions of Credo Map. They're making sure they're evasive. They're watching what we do and how we identify, and they're using that as well. And finally, the FCC voted to create the long-anticipated U.S. Cyber Trustmark program for IoT equipment. This program is voluntary, and it'll allow makers of IoT products ranging from home security cameras to baby monitors and internet-connected appliances to submit their products for testing and evaluation under third-party administrators. It would then get a Cyber Trustmark for its security. FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel said in a statement on Thursday that our expectation is that over time, more companies will use the Cyber Trust Mark and more consumers will demand it. This has the power to become the worldwide standard for securing Internet of Things devices. I hope you're right, Jessica. I'm just not as optimistic as you are in terms of companies submitting for this or even the testing being done accurately. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, live with all the latest and greatest. Please make sure to tune in. And again, this week, focus on the basics, the fundamentals. Security is about fundamentals, vulnerability management, patch management, and making sure your employees are alert and understand how you make money and how your business operates. That's really, really critical. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day. Have a great week. And most importantly, y'all, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.